is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation. Foundation.
The Foundation of Hard Crack is brought to you by Alive, Ancient Chinese Secrets, Bon for Bones, Burger King, Carrie's Fabric and Uniform Store, Cecilin Pediatrics, Commonwealth Bank, Epic Battery, Grand Bahama News, Popeyes, Prince Masters, and Ross Electric Motors.
Well, good afternoon, my Bahamas people. This is The Foundation, and unfortunately, it is with me, Hervis Bain III, and I am the guest host for this segment of The Foundation. Well, Howard is on vacation, and he's asked me to step in and sit in the chair for him. I don't know whether or not he examined his thought in doing that, but I am here, and we're here together, and I'm grateful to be here with you. And I pray that each and every one of you are well and blessed on this Monday afternoon, top of the morning to you. So now I got your shout outs and I'm getting your shout outs. And I appreciate each and every one of you for shouting out already. So here it is. We're in a discussion this morning or this afternoon, I'm sorry. And we're discussing breaking the silence, the integrity crisis. And how it designed this show or designed this series or this segment to deal with integrity from the pulpit, from the politicians, and from the people. And so he's asked me as he's on vacation to come in to sit down and have a conversation with you. And then hopefully I can have my colleagues come in on the second hour. We'll have an extended conversation with them. But today, once again, my name is Pastor Hervis Bain III. I am the Chief Corporate Relations Officer of Bahamas Harvest Church, where the pastor there is Pastor Mario Moxie with his wife, Pastor Erica Moxie, who is on vacation as well. And so I am also holding it down there at the Bahamas Harvest Church. So shout out to my BHC family, once again, thank you so much for all that is tuning in. So the topic today, we're dealing with the integrity from the pulpit. I find it interesting why he would ask a pastor to come in and to have this conversation. I guess Howard, trust me, we work together, we have formed a good relationship at church. And he said, hey, come on in and let's have a discussion. Let's talk about breaking the silence of integrity, the integrity crisis. What does that look like? What does that sound like? And for me, my Bahamian family, I am trying to understand where and why did the church lose its, edge? If we talk about it from that perspective, what exactly or why are there questions of integrity when dealing with the church? When you look at the word itself, integrity, the meaning integrity means the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. I mean, that within itself, to me, almost should signify or almost should look like the church. And so when you ask the question, like, oh, wait, what is integrity again? Is the adherence to moral and ethical principles? So how is it that we are questioning what the church is looking like with integrity when to me that meaning itself signifies what the church should be? The church should have its own sense of a filled with integrity. So I remember, I've been in church all my life. I am a second generation preacher. For those of you who don't know, my father was the Reverend Dr. Herbert Bain Jr. He was the senior minister of the St. John's Native Baptist Cathedral there on Meeting Street. I grew up there in that church. I was there when I got my license, and I followed my father in his footsteps, or the footsteps of being a preacher, a called man of God. I saw him in his own right be a blessing on so many levels here in the Bahamas. When I look at my father, I can see him in the education arena where he was a educational officer for the Ministry of Education. I saw him as a public figure, the designer of the coat of arms of the Bahamas, the accreditation to allowing there to be a structural drawing towards the flag of the Bahamas and many other national symbols. When I see my father, I saw my father as a businessman, being a part of the then BEC, who was a personal officer there, then going over to the Bahamas Development Corporation, the general manager there, and then ended his tenure in the business world with Swarovski Bahamas. So from the aspect of looking at an individual, I saw him as a preacher, a businessman, and a proud Bahamian. I had a foundation of looking at an individual who held up the banner of integrity and who held up the banner of the Bahamas, who held up the banner of the church. And so I remember growing up in the church, growing up where as an individual from daybreak, being brought to Sunday school, being led to God at an early age. And I remember the times when even the regard of those who were heavily intoxicated, let's put it like that, the regard of those who are heavily intoxicated, they regarded the church, they removed their hat as they passed, they like lowered their voice as they passed, even if they were loud. Those who were driving by with loud music, they would cut the music down. If there was a funeral, there was no disregard, no ill will towards the church, towards the pulpit. And now here we are, we're having a discussion this day about the integrity crisis and the integrity in the pulpit, and asking the question whether or not is there anybody who can be found to be wholeheartedly worthy of integrity within the church. That was a question that was posed on a document here, and so I am just questioning the why of that. And when you look at the objective, when you look at the stage that is set, when you're asking to break the silence of whether or not there should be, is there integrity within the pulpit, or is there integrity within politicians, or are there integrity among the people? Why are we questioning that? Because yes, there are sometimes or some individuals who are not filled with integrity. However, the other aspect of that is that when you look at the church as a whole, should those individuals in their one-offs be able to pull down the entire body of the church, the entire epicenter of morality, the entire aspect of what it is to be moral. Should, like, there be a one-off? And as that one-off comes about, should there be an opportunity for that one person or individuals to pull down the whole entire church? Or is that, or can I say, can there be an excuse? An excuse to have a reason not to follow through in the righteousness of living. As I said, I was raised by great parents. I spoke about my father, but my mother is an example. If my father was the hammer, then my mother was the nail. She was the one who held it together for us. If my father drove home the points that we needed to know, then my mother was the one who emphasized the reason why. And so the question could be, are there any parents that can uphold the righteousness? And are there parents that can lead children to the righteousness of the body of Christ? Simply because I am just saying my start, my beginning, my truth, my image of righteousness, my image of integrity, my image of focus, my parents. And as a result of that, they were able to lead me to a church that was strong. And shout out once again to the beginning of church for me, which is St. John's Native Baptist Cathedral, there on Meeting Street. And there we had many times when we had opportunities to just continuously and consistently give God praise, give God thanks, and I bloomed and blossomed from there. I even ventured off as I went to seminary. I went into Nashville, Tennessee, and I had opportunities to understand what it is to learn even more about God in my study of theology, and then staying in the United States of America for over 20 years and returning home. I was able to return to Bahamas Harvest Church, where Pastor Mario embraced me, and then from there, I stayed there for a while, and then from there, I went to Mount Tabor Church. Served Bishop Ellis there as his executive pastor for 8 years. And then the time came again where I was able to return back to Bahamas Harvest Church. And so in seeing all of this, in seeing church for what it is, and being among church all my life, I sometimes lean towards the aspect of church being that hospital for the healing of individuals, where you do not have a judgment, where you should not have a judgment, but more so where you should have that aspect of healing for your brothers and sisters, and in removing all emotions and individual feelings and all those things that can be a hindrance to everything. In trueness, allowing there to be a time of coming together, strengthening one another, and allowing there to be an evolution of betterment towards individuals. So how I see the church, is maybe tainted on my side because of my involvement within the church all these years. But how I see the church is, I see the church is of a place of integrity. I see, I've served religious leaders and serving religious leaders that was very full of integrity and very focused upon keeping the transparency of what is right and what is not wrong before us, and what is all righteous and what is true. That is before us, that's within the whole aspect of their Christian living, the whole discipline of their study towards God, and that's their whole discipline towards aspects of understanding that they are bigger than the brand, you know, the brand being that of serving Jesus Christ. Because when you look at scriptures and you look at the scriptures that are that are very true to us. We are looking at Matthew 5. You see that Matthew 5 would tell us that we are the light of the world and we are to build up everything that is around us. I'm talking about the church. If we're looking at the church itself, we're looking at the fact that we are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, special position, that we might declare the praises of him who called you to out of darkness into a wonderful light. So if these are biblical principles that we're standing on, the question is, why are we questioning the integrity of the church? Is it now left towards, oh, this one person did a thing, versus that the church itself is still the place where you can come and get fed? The church itself is still the place where you can come and get healing. The church itself is still a place where you can come and get guidance. The church itself is still a place where you can come and get a financial assistance. And so the integrity of the church, or the integrity of the pulpit, I feel, therefore, when you look at it in a holistic approach, it is still integrity in its approach. It is still an image of integrity. It's still an image of morality. It's still an image to be upheld. But the question, therefore, can ask why the church does not have the influence like how it did. Why is the church not able to have an opportunity to have that impact like how it was in before? Why is the church not able to have an opportunity to bring that real and true influence back into society? I understand that we have a caller, that caller, if you want to now answer your own question, let's have a conversation. Caller, are you there?
Brother Bain.
Hey, sir.
Yes, sir. You know, be talking about the church.
Yes.
And be talking about character.
Yes.
Ecclesiastes, I think it's 7 chapter, I think the first verse, it say, it's better than ruby, a good name is better than ruby, and it goes on diamond, silver.
Mm-hmm.
But when I look at the church, and when you look in the 20th century, how the apostle them, they conduct themselves. Jesus himself say, the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. We have a few men, but and we know exactly who they are, but no character. Your name speak for your character. And we know some of these pastors who have no character. But yet still, we go to their church on Sunday morning or Saturday morning, and we sit there and we listen to what they are saying. So we are just as bad as them. Because why? Jesus himself said, if the blind lead the blind, their boat should fall into a ditch. We have seen the politician. We know some of them with no character. We know what some of them is be doing. But we close our eyes and we put our head in the cloud and like we ain't see nothing that is taking place. But yet still, people to run our country and after we see things is not working out, we say, oh, well, we didn't know he was going to turn out to be that. We know some of these things before it happened. You understand
so,
me?
So is it the fact, I didn't get your name, sir. Let me address you.
Beg your pardon?
I didn't get your name. Let me address you correctly. Or just call her. I just simply want to say, is it the fact that the people are following a character, or are they seeing beyond the character and saying this person still has a gift from God?
Because sometimes there's our sons, our cousin, our pastor, and we hate to call them out.
So you're saying that because we don't call them out, because we're staying silent and saying, but we don't have to necessarily call them out if you just don't go to their church, right?
Well, just don't go. I wouldn't go. And because
you do go to church, though, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And that preacher works, that pastor there works for you, right?
Yes.
And you are fed there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving your tithe there.
Exactly.
And so as right then and there, you are becoming equipped to become a better citizen. So sometimes, you know, we allow God to deal with his agenda. And so all I'm saying to you, sir, is that, yeah, I understand that there might be some wolf in sheep's clothing. I totally understand. Like I said, I've been in church all my life. I say all.
But the Bible said in Matthew 7 and 15, he said that they come a sheep.
Yes. Whoa.
Wolf and sheep clothing.
Yes, sir.
So in other words, see, if I know, if I don't know, then they may persuade me. But if I know a pastor's doing wrongdoing, why should I put on my clothes on Sunday morning, go in the rain, to go listen to him?
I should not,
because why? God give me the ability to know right from wrong. He may have the gift. Yeah, he may speak, because the Bible said the gift is without repentance.
Exactly,
there are some
sir.
People who have the gift. There
some people have the gift. Some people have the gift, yes. And
yes,
the gift is out
people.
Without repentance.
Right.
But I'm saying if you, sir, have a church and that church is benefiting you, then sometimes we have to stay in our lane, sir, in all humble respect, and allow God to operate in such a way that he will protect his people and he will protect his sheep, even if the shepherd him, even though there might be questions about the character, if you have a place where what feeds you, rejuvenates you, allows you to be elevated to the next level in your spirituality, then allow God, because God says that, listen, I'll take care of those. Woe unto them who scatter the sheep, right?
That Isaiah 56.
Yes.
Woe unto the pastors that
right.
scatter my flock.
Right.
Now, my last point before I go. Do you know that spirits, that whatever type spirit that pastor, that leader is carrying,
passes down, yes, sir.
He could influence some of those members.
Yes.
If you have an adultery pastor,
yes,
that
sir.
You know, and do you know there are some members can pick up that same spirit also?
Yes, sir.
Okay, then.
Yes, sir.
So why should I stay there?
But you're not there, is what I'm saying.
No.
Right. So that person needs to become wise to understand. Listen, if I want to be better, I have to see what's making me better.
Exactly.
Right? If I want to be different, and I am not being different, let me see what's around me to be different. Let me
exactly.
see what is around me that's causing me not to have an opportunity to grow spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And even if it's my cousin, even if it's my brother, even if it's that person who I have that influence, let that be a wise decision made by them.
Exactly.
But let us not cast a judgment, because to me that might be a hindrance of spiritual growth, if you ask me, of casting a judgment on them.
You mean on
that person? Like you're saying, why should you follow that? You know, to me that's a casting of judgment.
That's why I say if you know.
But if you don't know.
If I don't know, I will have to say.
And the gift's making room for you, then what happens?
Beg your pardon?
If you don't know of the character of the person that you're
right.
following, and they are being a blessing to you, if you don't know.
That's why I said before, they will persuade me, and I will happen to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I get to find out who this person is, because, you know, Nassau is so small, and people barking the people and stuff like that. And that's the reason why. See, I believe that when one saved, God have called them. Not they have this feelings to be a pastor. When God have handpicked you and chosen you to be a representative here on this earth to lead his people.
Yes.
You shall say, God have called me, and now I am the things that I once used to do. The Bible said in Titus 3:3, we all have did some foolish things, but the grace of God now have separated me from these things now. So now I am leading God's people. If I used to do adultery before, if I used to whatever, I should put away those things.
Understood. So because therefore, it's left up to us now to basically call it out and ask for us to be strong in our integrity and have a prayer. Because why? Prayer changes things. And so we can't always judge a person, and if we're not asking God to change their heart, that it's my point. Okay, sir? I thank you for your time. I thank you for you calling in. I really appreciate your guidance and your statements. And so right now we're going to go to a break, and after this break we'll be right back. God bless. The foundation.
Do you have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everything is bigger and better at Burger King Nassau. When you have a big appetite, BK has a royal deal for you. Get a flame-grilled double Big King Jr. or an original chicken sandwich, plus 4 chicken nuggets, small fries, a drink, and a fresh baked cookie for only $9.95, including VAT. The royal deal was built for a big appetite. And at $9.95, including VAT, it's a steal of a deal. Go big and enjoy the BK flavors you love with the $9.95 royal deal at Burger King Nassau.
Now let me see now. 326 EPIC. Hello. This Epic Eckerd Battery. They're selling tires now on Wolf Road 2.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326 Epic. We ship also to the Family Island.
Foundation. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Once again, this is The Foundation, and no, it's not Howard Grant. My name is Pastor Herbert Bain III, and I'm filling in for Howard Grant. He is on vacation. We say shout out to you, Howard. Take your needed time of rest and rejuvenation. And we also say, once again, a shout-out to my Bahamas Harvest Church family. Shout-out to you. Also, shout-out to Guardian Radio 96.9 for their ability to allow individuals to utilize their gifts on many levels. Make sure you grab the Guardian if you haven't already. The headlines are very interesting. Stay engaged with your understanding of what's happening in your country, Bahamas. Allow that to be an opportunity to always know the facts and not just necessarily, as they say, listen to fake news. The news is always right, as they say in The Guardian, and so make sure you pick up a copy today. Our topic on this day, March the 26th, August the 26th, is breaking the silence, the integrity crisis. We're dealing with integrity from the pulpit, from the politician, and from the people. I have the lead-off leg race of being or discussing leadership and integrity from the pulpit. Once again, my name is Pastor Hervis Bain III, the Chief Corporate Relations Officer there at Bahamas Harvest Church. So we left off talking about following individuals whose characters may not be strong. And I say that the only difference or the only way that a character can change is through the going back to the architect, the manufacturer, God himself. So we have to take that in prayer. I have a text here that says, "Good afternoon, sir. I am a believer in Jesus Christ. However, biological family members in church leadership and in administration. Therefore, this causes frustration, friction, and division. I continue to pray." And it can. It can pose an issue. It can pose a problem to have many family members that may be engaged in the aspect of church on many levels. However, the question is, are they posing a problem because they're safeguarding the overall vision of the house, or are they posing the problem because they're putting their personal attitudes or their personal emotions along with the progression or the lack of progression of the house? What is it that it is the most frustrating aspect that you come across? I invite you to join the conversation. I invite you to be a part of the conversation. 323-6232 or 525-4316 or 325-4259. Use those lines and you can be a part of the conversation. I understand we have a caller. Caller, are you there? Caller going once? All right. So the question at hand, how difficult is it to have a progress full of influence, a church that is full of insight, while there are individuals like family members, individuals that are an impediment for leadership, for administration? Is that an aspect of upholding a time of being, say, having integrity within the church as well? Not just the church outside the four walls, but within the church. Is there a time of integrity that we might have an issue with when we don't have a unified body? When you see the personal attitudes and the lack of progression, because now here it is. Now that we have a post-COVID within church, the things that we used to do before, we necessarily can't do anymore or shouldn't do, because there's nothing to go back to when God is saying that we are forward moving thinking body of Christ. So when you're saying, okay, now that we have people returning and attendance is getting back to where it used to be, why are we struggling with anybody who is saying that let us not be innovative, let us not be let us be more aggressive in the fact of using technology, using wisdom, using all of the above to be a part of a evangelical approach. When we talk about church in itself, when you talk about doing church or being about the business of church, should it be integrous in a way of allowing it to only be what it used to be? Meaning that should we allow church to reflect the old times? In the day, if I could recall, church, like I said, the pulpit was revered and it had reverence. The church itself, when you walked in church, hats are removed and situations are almost sometimes like come to a complete stop when you're passing the body or the building of the church. But now, it's a lot of disrespect, I would say. There's a lot of situations, even when you have attendance of funerals, there are individuals who are not aware of what to do or the reverence of it. And therefore, even when the preacher pastor tries to put the house in order, then there's an issue. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about where did the breakdown of understanding what is right and what is wrong, or what is indifferent in the church? Where did that go? I understand that there's a call. The call coming in. Caller, are you there?
Hello.
Hello, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
You can call me CG. You are Mr. Bain, Pastor Bain.
Yeah, CG.
Yeah. I am. I don't need to go to your church.
Right.
That's the first thing. I mean, there are about 45,000 denominations globally. And for me to choose which one of them is the right one, it's going to take me a number of lifetimes. So I decided that I'm going to just follow my ma, because she died for me twice. Mm. See her if I should ever leave, because I just see a bunch of political and religious freaks in the church. And I've been to many of them. I grew up in the church. My mom and my aunt, and they were all busy praying for relief while Stafford Sands and the Seminoles were stealing all the land. Then I heard of a pastor that I met who said that God lives in the Bahamas. Well, you know, the 400 or 500 years when slavery was going on, God was busy here doing that too, because he didn't stop it. So I'm not interested in the church. But the question I have for you is this. There was a time when God, the generator, the operator, and the destroyer of all things, that's what God means to me, means something else to you, but that's what G-O-D means to me. He used to accept offerings of human sacrifices, actually killing people and burning them on the altar so he could smell the smoke and it satisfied his nostrils according to the Bible. And then all of a sudden, that God who doesn't change, switch up and send a son now to take the place. Well, I believe that's a bunch of hogwash. Because why did he change? Maybe you could answer that. Why did one who used to like to smell burnt blood now send a son and shed his son's blood? But God should not change. You agree?
CG, let me ask a question. Where? Let's do a fact check. Where did you find that God is asking for human sacrifices?
In the Old Testament.
Was it human sacrifices, so or was there animal sacrifices?
There was somebody who sacrificed his son at one point, remember?
No. So you have to understand the total context of that story of Abraham and Isaac, sir. God basically asked to see whether or not where was Abraham's loyalty to him, what he put in front of him. And he basically asked, yes, hey, take your son with you and let your son be the sacrifice. But his son did not and was not sacrificed.
Well, did God know that he would have not sacrificed his son, or was God just playing games with him?
God gave us, okay, let's go to theology perspective. And I'm not a theologian, but the aspect of it is that God gives us or has given us free will. Just like
what
how you,
again?
Free will. A choice to do it by ourselves. He's not going to force us to worship him. He's not going to force us to get into any aspect of demanding respect from us. He wants us to do it willfully. Mm-hmm. And as a result of that, CG, he basically put a test to Abraham because he understood the mentality of Abraham and the image of Abraham to the church body. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. So basically, God tested Abraham at his level of faith, and Abraham followed through the command of God, but God stopped him because God knew now that you would not allow anything to get in between me, not even your own son. And then the Bible says, hold on, the Bible says that there is a ram that was in the thicket, right? Mm-hmm. The miracle there is that if the ram wasn't seen before, how was it seen then? So now Abraham used that ram as a sacrifice. Now,
God needed sacrifices.
Watch it. The blood spread, okay? The spreading of the blood is the atonement of sin.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
The blood shed is an atonement of sin. So therefore, in order for me to, as the time came that I so happened to have gone against anything that was not righteous, then I could have atoned blood, whether it be a turtle dove, whether it be a ram, whether it be a sheep, whether it be, you know, a goat. The aspect of it is that the atonement of my sin was the shedding of blood. So now, God realizing that man had a debt that he could not pay, he said,
A debt, a sin. I could just kill a mosquito and then there'll be atonement of blood.
Okay, right. Agreed. But not so. Not in the biblical principle, sir. There needs to be, you can't just kill a mosquito.
So this was a bloody God.
No, sir. It's not a bloody God. You have to understand.
He needed to smell blood burning, right?
No, sir. Watch this. If he needed to smell blood burning, why send his only begotten son?
I wasn't there. Now, see, now, there you go now. You're asking me a question that I really don't have no interest in.
Right, but why? Well, let me finish. Why send his only begotten son to die on the cross, to shed his blood, right, for the total atonement of our sins.
For the unborn.
For the total atonement for those who are living and those who are not, was not living at the time. So we who in the Christian faith would say over 2,000 years ago, God sent his only begotten son. And when Jesus died on the cross, he died for your sins, and he died for my sins, and for the generations to come sin. For nobody needed to worry about an atonement after that, because therefore there is no separation. Because once you go through Jesus Christ as your Savior, your Lord and Savior, once you do your ABCs, A, accept, B, believe, and C, confess, then you shall be saved. Once you are under that atonement, sir, then you can walk with the righteousness of knowing that God has saved me, and in that be free from your sins. So he's not a bloody God.
I just can't walk knowing that I'm free already without having to go through your process of atonement?
The simple answer of that is no.
Oh, well, we have an issue. We can have a big issue.
I get that, right?
Yeah.
So,
I'm taking my call, man.
You're welcome, sir. God bless you. So, right now, we're going to go into another break. Oh, we got two more minutes. Is there another call? Caller? Hello? Caller, you're on there?
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Welcome.
Good afternoon to you.
Listen, the gentleman that's now, he is kind of hurt my spirit to hear. I'm wondering of his age, because it hurts my spirit to hear the level. And he said he visited churches before. I really would like to know what denomination or what church in this Bahamas that he visited that would give him that idea of what he was saying about my God liking the smell of burnt human and burnt human blood. And I would like to know where he find that scripture, because there's nowhere in the Bible where I've ever noticed a sacrifice offered to God, even from the days of Cain and Abel. They were not human, and they were not bird. They were always animal sacrifices.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
And the reasoning behind that was given, as the sacrifice was given, there was a reason, because there were sacrifices for different things.
Okay.
You understand? And then he said, when you told him about the you have to accept and all these other stuff, he said, you didn't notice what he said, your reasoning in order to get to Christ. It's not your reasoning. It's what the Word of God said.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
You know, so I believe that if he was, if because where we find that scripture about the burnt blood thing, it's amazing. He seemed to think God is this vicious, evil, demonic type spirit. I pray for him that he gets a full understanding of who God really is and what he does. You know, and if I come to his house and offer him, and I'm a mere human, if I come and I offer him a gift, if he don't accept it, can he get it?
No, ma'am.
Okay, so what God is offering us is a gift.
A gift.
So in order to receive it, you have to accept it.
Exactly.
You understand?
That's the leading off of a accepted. Yes.
So I want him to understand that it's not what you say needs to be done. It's what the Word of God says needs to be done. And I'd hate to see a brother burn because lack of knowledge. And it seems like he don't have the understanding. It'll be sad that with all this, what do we call ourselves, a Christian nation? We have persons within our nation. He doesn't sound like he's a young fella.
So has what I will want you to do. As we go to our commercial break, let's go to prayer for him. Let's cover him.
Yes,
let's not lead and leave him alone. So cover him so God can cover him in his blood. And therefore he can join in to understand that when you join God, then life is such a better place, such a sweet place. We go to commercial break, we go to the news, and after that, we got a nice deeper discussion. I got some backup. And so right now, we're going to go to the news. God bless you.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this. The Foundation.
Marcos is the talk of the town this summer. We've got an irresistible deal for you and your family. Purchase 2 medium, 1 topping pizzas, a delicious pizzoli, and cool down with a free 2-liter soda. All for just $27.50. Visit your nearest Marcos location or order online at MarcosPizzaBahamas.com and get yours today. After all, what's the summer without Marcos Pizza?
It's time to upgrade the way you enjoy at-home entertainment. Alive Fiber is here. Enjoy all your favorite channels and streaming apps, all at lightning-fast internet speeds with affordable bundles, and it's only a click away. Visit www.alivefiber.com to sign up now. Stay connected, live your life. It's good to be alive.
Carrie's Fabric and Uniform Store wants to get you ready for back to school.
Don't be no fool, stay in school.
They have ready-made uniforms and uniform fabrics for almost every school in the Bahamas.
At Carrie's, find skirts, blouses, shirts, jumpers, boy shorts and long pants, neckties, socks and more.
You can even have your uniform skirts custom made.
Check out our selection of embroidered cotton shirts.
That's Carrie's Fabric and Uniform Store on Mackey Street.
Call us at 393-0758 or 817-0758.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's Funeral Industry Partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Always on the go? Missed a show?
You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas. This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Well, good afternoon, Bahamas, and I hope each and every one of you are well and blessed. This is The Foundation, and it is not with Howard Grant today. It is with a blessing of being with me, Hervis Bain III, Pastor Hervis Bain III, the Chief Corporate Relations Officer at Bahamas Harvest Church. Howard has asked me to fill in his seat this afternoon, and the first segment was really interesting. We are talking about breaking the silence, the integrity crisis, and the integrity is coming from the politicians and from the people. So I'm dealing with from the pulpit, and the first segment was really intense to me, so I brought in some reinforcements in this second edition of it. So I thought I'd call in some colleagues and friends to say, hey, come and back me up as we have this discussion about integrity in the pulpit. And so with me, I will start off by calling him a friend.
Yes, I am.
All right? But we used to go in the balcony of St. John's and Harvest. We used to eat all the remaining fruits, God bless you, at that time. Mm-hmm. So this is the president of the Christian Council, the president of the National Baptist Educational Convention, the bishop of New Destiny Cathedral, my friend and my brother, Bishop Dalton Fernanda.
Doc, it's good to be in your presence, and it's a privilege to be in good Dalton company.
So why he said that was that not only do I have one Dalton, but I have two Daltons in the house today.
So rare.
So yeah, so I figured, like, boy, is this a reflection of me? But when you call, they answered. And so right now, I have also Bishop Dalton Ellis, who is the pastor designate, the seat of the Mount Tabor Church, come October the 30th.
Amen.
There's going to be a new person at the helm once again. And yes, as a result of that, this person is in the personage of Bishop Dalton Dale Ellis. Mm-hmm. So I am grateful to have Bishop Dalton and Bishop Dalton here. So we're going to have, yeah. Glad to have you. So we're having discussion about the integrity in the pulpit. And so I just want to get your point of view. I opened up the segment talking about what integrity is, and integrity is the quality of being honest and having strong moral principles. To me, that's the church.
Amen.
Right? So in order for there to be strong moral principles, there need to be an institution or principles, and to me, that's the church. So to have a discussion about having integrity within the pulpit, which is within the church, yes, I understand that there are some things or some questionable individuals that can allow for there to be a question towards a particular church, but not the total body of itself should come into question of whether or not it has integrity. Bishop Fernanda?
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think what the definition you have there, if you read the 24th Psalm, almost saying it's the same thing, who shall ascend? Mm-hmm. He that has clean hands and a pure heart.
Right.
You know, this kind of stuff that we're talking about the pulpit and integrity, to me, a program driving in and people talking about family and all of these things, I think what we are saying is if you don't have some level of accountability, if you're not inspecting, if you're not asking people to step up at a level where This is the standard for which we want preachers, pastors, those that will disseminate the gospel to be holden to. Then you run into this problem of integrity.
Yes.
When we were in classes, we were moving towards, as Baptists, we didn't wear the Roman collar.
Right.
And so we were the generation that were coming back home with the Roman collar. And I remember our teacher saying to us, he said, you're getting away from the necktie and shirt, and you're putting on the Roman collar. You made yourself a target that people would know that you were yoked by God. And one of the things we would have is that it held us accountable. Because when you put it on and you walk in society, you stood out. And there was this sense of accountability that you hold unto God, but to the people, that you are God's representative in the earth. And so for me, if you start off from a place that, first of all, my hands are human hands, and so they're made out of dust and clay. And so by nature, I was fashioned in sin, shaped in iniquity.
Right.
So it is a place of constantly going to God with a sense of humility, make me better, forgive me of my sins, as I seek to lead others in this place of integrity.
Bishop Ellis?
I'll jump in there, Dr. Green, as a result of Bishop Delton talking about coming home with collars.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I did, even when I served as first assistant, was I gave three of our members position, power, I guess, to check me.
Amen.
All right? If you see me step out of line, if you see me do something, forget the title first assistant and address me on it.
Right.
And I believe all of us from time to time need that in any area of our lives, whether it's the church, it's politics, the government, whatever you're talking about, I believe you need that because, as he said, we were all born in sin, shape, and iniquity, and all of us have that little piece of something in us. Us that want to get away every now and again.
Paul calls it the thorn in your flesh.
Yes. And so some people think integrity means you never do anything wrong, you never stop, you never sin, you never... No. The bottom line is when we recognize it, we go to God and ask for forgiveness.
Agreed.
All right? And then move on from there. But I believe I've sinned since I got saved.
Yeah.
But you can't tell me I'm not an integrity person when it comes to the pulpit.
Okay.
All right? So
yes,
I believe I have integrity in the pulpit, but I've had some shortcomings.
Right.
And I believe that's where we are. And so sometimes people want us to walk perfect all the time without any missteps. And again, we are human, all right? But we got that spirit inside of us that will also check us from time to time.
So why do you think it's difficult for the world to look at a preacher, pastor, and not give him what you call a pass? Okay, so hey, we have some elections to our neighbors in the north.
Right.
And one candidate is said to have convictions over 30 plus, right? But yeah, he's still in the race.
Right.
There are individuals who can, here locally, who can do all kind of devious things, and all of a sudden they can still be reelected.
Right.
Right? But when a preacher shows himself weak, when a pastor shows himself to be succumbing to whatever thorn in his flesh, there is a judgment. Like, there cannot be a God that saves and a God that blesses and a God that wipes it clean.
Because people generally don't have a spirit of forgiveness.
Mm.
One of the things I said is, if God is a God of a second chance, how come we don't give people a second chance if they mess up? All right? Not because I did bad when I was small. You holding that against me, and I'm 50 now. I mean, I a little more than 50, but I'm 50 now. I'm 50 now, but I messed up
at
when
15.
I was at 15.
Yeah, and
you're still holding that against me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Because that's a level of unforgiveness that I think we have across the board. Now, I guess most people expect more out of a preacher. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required.
Yes, sir.
And I understand that. But that does not mean from time to time we may not have a shortcoming here and there.
Agreed.
I think is the space and place for accountability. The Bible says the prophet is answerable to the prophet. That we ought to find in our society that if a preacher is untoward, is messing up, is moving, or pastor is moving in a direction that, mm-hmm. that is contrary to the word of God, you first go to their covering.
Yes.
You know, and I know we live in a time when people want to do independent work. They don't want to be answerable to anybody.
Yes.
This is the key. This is the way it works, that if you're not inspecting or checking or somebody in this room today, and I know you're hearing us in different spaces and places, but we are genuine friends.
Yes.
And if any of these men get on the phone and call and say, let's have lunch.
Right.
And they ask me hard questions. Why did you A, B, and C?
Right.
Here's the interesting part. I will take their rebuke quicker than I take it from the press.
Sure. Right.
Sure.
Quicker than I take it from a politician.
Sure.
I take it from somebody else.
Right. Sure.
Because I understand these men care.
Right.
For my heart, my soul, my family, my ministry. Am I right about it, brothers?
Yeah, I agree.
That
if you need an amen, has an amen.
So this is not a place of destruction. This is a place of what the Bible calls reconciliation.
Yes.
Reconciling myself.
Yes.
And when I hear that, I hear the wrong, I hear I made a mistake, I walk away with a sense of my brothers came to me. And I need to check myself.
Absolutely.
I need to look at what's going on. Without that circle in any area.
Right.
And that's what happens. Let me say this too. From the time I've been around politicians, that's what happened to politicians. They have nobody. No. And hence why, I know one portion you talk about pastors getting too close to politicians.
Mm-hmm.
You need a pastor that doesn't want anything from you.
Exactly.
Right.
You need a man or woman of God.
Absolutely.
That is, will tell you what thus said the Lord.
Yes, sir.
If your feelings hurt.
Yes.
If you're upset. If you feel that you didn't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I could say a name that when I was young, there was a preacher, a reverend who would preach and everybody would suck their teeth.
Because
you know he can talk about hell and damnation and he wears white suit and you're going to hell and X, Y, Z.
Stanley Russell.
Yes. But now that I'm older,
I
respect him to the hilt.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That
exactly.
That I mean, I used to try to go to the next door. And this would be a man grab your hand. Are you still living for Jesus?
Right. Yes.
And you know, you like, let go of my hand, please. You know, you felt a sense of accountability.
Sure.
But he got us at a time when we needed molding. He needed breaking. We needed someone who would say the hard things to us. And maybe in this time and stage of us moving and allowing, but people have some accountability too. You know, people come to me all the time, Mr. President, how do you allow this? How do you allow that? If there's no place of accountability.
Mm-hmm.
But the people, you are choosing to make this person your pastor, your spiritual guide, the one that speaks to God on your behalf.
Exactly.
Right.
What does that say about you?
Right. Yeah. Right.
If you see the wrong.
Yeah.
You see what's going on.
Yes.
And you're sitting and bringing your children, your family under this kind of leadership. What does that say about you?
Because the word said, I give you pastors, preachers, teachers after my own heart. Okay, then. So if you have a problem, then check your heart.
Yes.
The other aspect of that is senior pastors in the church when there are, say, unequally yoked marriages that may be from the perspective of the wife constantly coming to church and the husband is complaining. And then from that perspective, not allowing there to be a level of submission from the wife. How do you redirect that type of situation so that there can be correction, not just from the pulpit, but the correction within the home?
Well, that's almost private counseling.
Okay.
That's almost private counseling because you would not have that with everybody. And then if we look at demographics, for the most part, our church have always been made up of mostly women. Some men, they just not feel like coming to church or don't want to come to your church. We could see that in one angle or one area. But I believe if there is a woman whose husband is not pleased with certain things. I remember one night, Bishop Ellis had prayer meeting, and he asked all of the married women, who in here did not cook before you came to church tonight? And they hold up their hands. He sent them all home.
All of them.
All of them. He sent them home to make sure that that home is also being taken care of as well. So I believe there are some times when you have private counseling session, and I think also marriage ministries are very important in churches.
Yes.
You know, most times pastors are unaware of what's going on in homes until it
blossoms.
Manifests.
Yes.
We are getting better at people booking counseling sessions and saying, the pastor, we have a problem. Or, you know, I have a problem and I would like to book a time to come in and sit and talk with you. Hence why pastors are being better prepared.
Yes,
but,
yes.
You know, for me, I really, the classes we had, Dr. Bain, two counseling classes.
Yes.
And by the time we got to the pulpit, I realized that was 80% of the job.
Yeah.
That was 80% of the job. Hence why I went back to school.
Yeah.
I went back to school to better the craft of counseling and what was being offered from the church to the parishioner. And so sometimes in those conversations, men will say things to you, and you have a conversation with both parties separate, together,
right.
X, Y, Z. Maybe both don't want to come in the room, but you try to help it along. You try to get it to a place. Like you said, you start helping people to be like, let's take care of our home.
Yes.
Let's be in position.
Yes.
And
yes.
And people get a serious, especially men, they get a serious hate for
against
the pastor.
Pastors, yes.
And the pastor is clueless. Yes. You know, fellas
you
will
know,
come.
What's
and
going
say,
on?
You know, fellas say, my wife will bake a cake for the church.
Right.
Before she bake a cake for me, that's wrong.
Right.
You know, they'd be like, you know, see the tension.
Go down.
Go
right.
down.
Right.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's, yeah. I'll have a conversation with it. That's right. absolutely wrong.
But they're holding you responsible, and you don't even know what's
clueless.
Going on there.
So the problem, therefore, can be circumvented to say it's not necessarily the church.
Right.
It
not
is the home.
Right.
So if they don't have a problem submitting to the church, but they have a problem submitting to the house, then that's an opportunity for us to have a consultation to say what's going on here. That's a signal. That's a line that says, okay, let's come, let us reason together.
Yes, sir.
You know, and so we go from there. Is there a call? I see there's a call. Is there a call? No?
Hello?
Okay, hello, caller, you're on?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Who's the host today? Today
is Hervis Bain, Pastor Hervis Bain, the third.
How you doing, Mr. Bain? Hey, Sparky here.
Sparky, how you doing?
Okay, so you know, I have, for years, I've been having a situation that confuses me in this beautiful place we call the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
All right.
Okay, if your producer wouldn't hit me in a hurry, I beg his allegiance. But what I'm saying
is, get that, Sparky, get that.
Growing up, I was told that we were in a Christian country. This was from 1951, that I heard that we were in a Christian country. And when I look at that, I call that reverend. I grew up in the Anglican Church. From a youngster, being baptized, being confirmed, waking on the altar with the priest, being in the vestry, all that type of stuff. And as I grew older, they said, when you're a child, you speak as a child. When you're a man, you put away all childish things. Everything was actually brainwashed into me without my permission. I wasn't asked to be an Anglican. I wasn't asked to be confirmed into the church. I was told I had to be. But as we know, as we grew older, even in our constitution, they said that we are a country of Christian principles.
Okay, make your point, though.
It didn't say that we are a Christian nation. Okay, you want me to bring it to the point, but then you take time
Sparky,
to explain
this
yourself,
is,
you
this
take
is
a
Bishop Fernando. Let me say this to you, Sparky. Let me say this to you. I think when we use the word Christian nation, obviously we're talking about the number of Christians in the country. Now, we didn't produce the statistics. I know you like to use the Constitution, but statistics just came out from the National Census. More than 80% self-identified. Nobody forced them. Nobody, like you said, made them Anglican, made them Catholic, made them Baptist. Nobody in the, as far as I know, identified themselves as even a church person. And they self-identify that 80-plus percent of our country Christian. And so when people try to use this norma of the Constitution, Christian values, yes, it's in there. You can't erase it. You can't rub it out. But the majority of our population self-identify as Christians.
So thank you so much for your call, sir. We're going to move on. I got another question. So when you see pastor and politician come together, it's such a negative connotation to it because of, for whatever reason, I guess, you know, we're still divided.
Right.
You know, but like, shouldn't it be? Whereas pastor and politician should come together, especially in the constituency, to make that impact, to make that difference, to come outside of the walls of the church, for the church now to be recognized within the community, to make the difference, to relieve the poverty, to relieve the stress and the pain. I'll put it out there.
I don't see no issue. You know, we always make this statement, it takes a village to raise a child.
Agreed.
So if it takes the village, what's wrong with the village pastor and the village politician coming together to make some things happen? I'll tell you straight up, Hervis, if I'd had my opportunity, I wanted to run. All right? I wanted to run. I wanted to be in politics because I believe I saw an opportunity where it was a good combination. We can make some things happen for my island.
Yes.
I can make some things happen for the church.
Right.
If the politician and the pastor don't work together, then we're talking about things the church are doing versus the things the government are doing. And if we're going to make this whole thing, well, I mean, it just hit me now with the statistics with 80%. Mm-hmm. So if 80% are self-proclaimed Christians, then that means some of the politicians
have a pastor.
Thank you very much.
Right.
All right. And so I don't see no issue with them working together, making some things happen. Now, some may ask the question, how far that should go?
Right.
That's a different question. That's a different statement. But I don't see an issue with them two working together at all.
For me, I know the different roads that callers and mindset will take. First of all, a pastor is entitled to their political persuasion.
Right.
Let me put that on the table.
Absolutely.
When they go on the boat, they will vote for one or two or three of these parties.
Right.
We only have one vote, if you understand. Any one of these parties,
sure.
They can vote for.
Sure.
But you don't bring your politics to the pulpit.
Agreed.
That you work for everybody in the congregation.
Right,
right.
You know, hypocrisy sometimes I find in the Bahamas is that something could be wrong with one government.
Right.
And the next government could do the
same thing. But they are right.
And it's all right. I have a big problem with
that. Yes, yes.
Wrong is wrong and right is right.
Right.
And I don't care what color you're wearing. This is the time. And hence why we as pastors, the South has lost its savor.
Right. Mm.
Because the people who wear the colors looking at us as hypocrites.
Right.
And they could see it a mile away.
Okay.
They'd be like, wait a minute, John was just out there shouting from the mountaintop and, you know, we need to do this and do that. And then when the next party get in, you can't find John.
Right.
You know, John in the corner, seemingly everything is perfect, everything is right. And so for me, I believe that there ought to be some things that we can work together on. You know,
sure.
I remember the Bible telling us, how can two walk together except they agree? There are going to be some things we agree on.
Okay. And there'll be some things we disagree on.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we can walk in different directions.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And we should be allowed to allow it to play out. You know, that there's some things that just synergy. I mean, one of the things I bear out in this country, people ask me, what would the Bahamas be like if there wasn't outreach from churches?
Right. Right.
Just think about all that the churches through the Lenten bread of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas do after school care. We started private school education in the country. We opened up the nurseries and daycares, and for now, for those that are age free, things you don't even know. We give out free AIDS medicine.
Right.
We own all of the homes for disadvantaged children and all of this kind of stuff. What if one day we say, listen, leave it to the politician. Leave it to society at large.
See, and most times, Mr. President, a lot of times people don't even see that. They see when the church may have made a misstep.
Yes.
And they jump down on us, not realizing how much impact the church itself has made in this country.
Because no one's telling us. And I look across the table.
So is it the church's fault? Or is it the fact that
I know that was coming.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
Don't guy with me. Half and half with us. Half and half.
Because what? We have social media. Right. We have all these aspects of
hello.
Yes. So we're right now on radio. So when now people now saying what the church is doing, right. They shouldn't ask that question.
Because because a lot of churches trying to make the balance of marketing what you're doing and doing your stuff in private.
For the Lord's.
Right. Ooh. All right. Now, I have two issues because I happen to love a scripture in 2 Chronicles 10 with the Queen of Sheba. Uh-huh. And one in Kings with the Queen of Sheba.
Have it not been too?
Well, no. She said, they said, when the Queen of Sheba heard of the wisdom of Solomon. All right. So I believe that there are some things that have to be heralded from the church perspective to know that there are some things that were going on. Now,
because that's before internet. That's before social media.
Before. Yeah. She heard, watch this, and she came.
Right.
And she came bearing gifts. All right, because I got this next question.
Wisdom causes
the gifts to come in.
Oh, okay.
So she came in with gifts. Watch this now. To the point the Bible said a gift was never given like that again.
Mm.
All right? So I believe, because I keep asking my question, I'm trying to do something different in church, because I got this next question as to why all the philanthropists, all of their money is going to private organizations. But then they make noise when the church don't do anything.
Listen, I am on a campaign. And I'm not afraid to say it. I speak to the powers that be.
Mm-hmm.
It is embarrassing the amount of philanthropy that goes on from state and from private citizens that are anything other than a Christian something. Well, we can't give it to the church.
Right.
I'm like, who?
I'm trying to figure that out.
Who came up with this?
Let me play the advocate here. Mm-hmm. I ain't calling my what I ain't.
Right.
But I'm saying is that because, is it the fact that they don't trust the church? Because the churches, some churches,
right,
have shown themselves to be two for you, four for me?
Let me let you go, please.
This is what I do for a living.
Yes.
You could Google right now some of the social outreach to our brothers to Haiti.
Yes.
You could Google it right now.
Right.
How many of it ended up on the ground? And it was in the church. I rest my case.
Okay then. All right. So I hear the music. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to pick up this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think it's very much needed in the aspect of, if you want to help, why don't you use the church to be that help for you after this break?
The Foundation.
The Foundation with Howard Grant. We'll be back right after this.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Bonneville Bones, established in 1970, is the leader in men's fashion in the Bahamas. We're conveniently located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza, and fully stocked with everything you need for all occasions. Our Harbor Bay location is one door north of Alive, with the black and white signage of Bonneville Boutique. Both locations are open from 10 to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Bonneville Bones and Bonneville Boutique, still the leader in men's fashion. Located in the Mall at Marathon and the Harbor Bay Shopping Plaza.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio,
your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Foundation. Good afternoon, Bahamas. This is The Foundation, and it's normally with Howard Grant, but I am your host this day. Howard is on vacation, and he has asked me to step in and sit in his chair for this segment of talking about integrity in the pulpit. My name is Pastor Hervis Bain III. I am the Chief Corporate Relations Officer at Bahamas Harvest Church. With me today, I have my friends, my brothers, weights within the corporate as well as within the church society. I have the president of the Baptist as well as the president of the Christian Council. And the bishop of New Destiny Church is Bishop Dalton Fernanda. And then I have another Dalton with me. I have the Bishop Dalton Ellis from Mount Tabor Church, the senior pastor designate to be the new pastor there at Mount Tabor Church. And also, if I am not mistaken, sir, you are still the provincial leader of the Global United Fellowship for the Bahamas.
Correct.
I want on that point to talk about it, the fact that you, Global United Fellowship, if I am not mistaken, still has like over 1,400 churches within 40-plus countries. With that level of exposure, there are some things when you talk about church and state, right, especially within the United States. When we left off talking about how philanthropists do not necessarily look towards the church as that beacon of change, but within the United States, the church and state is coming together and become very much a partnership.
Yes.
So I'm asking, why do you think here locally that doesn't come about in the exposure that you have seen?
I think some of it is drawn because of some records sometimes. I'm not negating that. But I believe we have far more people who will deal with finances in an integrous way.
Yes. Amen.
I believe being, we see people every week,
yes,
more so than anybody.
Agreed.
We know of most of the persons who probably really are in need.
You're right.
More so than anybody else. But for some reason, I'm sorry, for some reason, they wouldn't seem to want to channel it in our direction to make it happen. And I believe we could cover more grounds in that manner. I'll take you back to COVID-19.
Yes.
COVID-19... I had an initiative, Keeper's Prayer Watch, and Hervis, with the little we did, an average of seeing maybe 200 people online for 3 days a week. Well, Hervis, in the first couple of months, I gave out almost 10,000 bags of groceries.
Mm. Amen.
All right?
Amen.
10,000 bags of groceries,
right,
without any major support.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm saying, imagine if I had major support. As a
right.
matter of fact, I'm a push a button a little bit. When COVID-19, I was given a call from the powers that be to ask how to set up some of this stuff.
Right.
Then when they done set it up, then nobody even called me back. So most of the churches didn't get from that perspective.
Right.
Then on the flip side, you saw people who had to bring some of it back, who didn't do what they should have done to get it out to the people. And I believe that the church is in a position where we in Beantown, we in Grantstown, we in Pinewood Gardens, we out on Gladstone Road, the church is spread out all around our communities that could have direct impact on people's lives if they had the resources to make these things happen.
So, Bishop Fernanda, being the president of the Christian Council, do you feel that this can be a joint effort, whereas it may not be individual churches, but it may be like regional areas under the Christian Council, which is a cabinet posting. In that regard, do you feel that the administration, if there is an opportunity for church and state to come together from a philanthropic perspective?
Working on it right now. One of the things that we realize that there's a duplication of effort.
Right.
And not only is there a duplication of effort, you're asking us to take resources that are limited mm-hmm. to do things that the state really should
right.
be taking on.
Right.
And let me talk about the other jurisdictions. You see, the thing about the other jurisdictions is they've figured out how to tie the giving to taxes.
Mm. Agreed.
I'm going to push that button again.
Right.
And one of our arguments with state, they were trying to push something. We said, all right, if we do A, B, and C, maybe the tariff for this should go or that should go. And they backed right off.
Right.
My point being is this is how it works worldwide.
Yes.
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 Why are we being deprived in the Bahamas
right.
of having people who want to take those finances and give to initiatives that the churches are leading?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you're going to hear over and over, I don't want to call the minister, but he said in his statement, churches are better suited to get certain things done.
Right. Right.
I'm wrestling right now from a point of counseling. The budget is given to certain areas.
Mm.
But what if we have certified professionals? We have pastors in UB right now doing right. the master's in counseling.
Right.
And it's not free. I hope someone's listening to me.
Right.
If I'm trying to help the country
right.
to better my craft, I paid for my doctorate.
Exactly.
Right. But you're giving everybody else free.
Right.
And here's a pastor trying to better the craft so that we could have a professional counseling
in
bank.
This, yes.
That
Absolutely.
We could, that, yes, there's the Christian Counseling Center, but we need more of us
sure.
to be equipped. And so we're saying to the state, we're saying to the guests in our country, we're saying to the people, when I say guests, I mean other countries in our,
yes.
who are residing in our country, that you're giving to places that might not even have the impact that the church has.
You're right.
Why not partner with us? And like I said off here, we could turn those entities into things separate
yes.
from the
separate.
Church.
Yes.
But
yes.
accountable to the church.
Yes.
So
yes.
we could release those books.
Sure.
And we could have, and here's the interesting part I have about this, and it's something that's been my mantra. It was said as the installation the other thing.
Don't miss that, sir. I'm sorry. That's whole yeah. your point. Release the books. In other words, to be transparent.
Yes.
You can come in
but
and
here's
see
the
what
thing.
You got.
I know people think that she's untransparent, and let me wrestle with something that just happened recently. We have the Financial Task Force.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We have onerous
right.
Looking over the books for right. for money laundering and the like in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. And so this when you get to a ceiling and you start collecting a certain amount right. of money in this country, if you are in the studio, you see these heads bobbing. This notion that there's just taking money home in your briefcase,
yeah.
not when you are incorporated and you have
exactly.
a board
exactly.
and you have X, Y, Z.
Right.
Now, when you are just getting certain things are unnecessary, you know, you are at a place where there are five people,
mm-hmm.
you know, X, Y, Z. Don't take on the onerous stuff
right.
until you're ready for the onerous
right.
stuff.
Right.
But when you get to a certain level in this country,
yeah.
you will have to report, and you will have to,
absolutely.
As a pastor,
absolutely.
I could get a check today from someone who says, happy pastoral anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And if that check is above a certain amount, my bank will call me.
Right.
Exactly. You do it.
Exactly.
And I have to fill out a form
right.
saying where I got that funds from and what it was. And that person surely would be reached.
Sure.
And identify that funds came for this purpose of X, Y, Z. So the accountability part of it takes place, but I think to help others realize it, that we are willing, that when we take on, I give you a case in point. One of the things I've been arguing, we have funding internationally for what the Prime Minister has been arguing for, relief against hurricanes and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
The number one hurricane shelters in this country are churches.
Right.
You let one of those roofs blow off.
Yeah.
I've been executive secretary of Baptist. Mm. I am now president of Christian Council. I had a lot of hurricanes.
Yes. Right. yes.
You let shingles fly off that
yes.
church. You let XYZ. We can't get the same bundles of shingle that you'll send to the houses.
Right.
Cannot go to the church because we don't give to the church.
Yeah.
We don't do that kind of stuff. So the church that just housed the people
right.
does not have a roof anymore.
Right.
And we got to go beg. to put a roof back on a hurricane-designated shelter in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Absolutely.
And we get funding for this.
But why is that, though? I mean, why is there such a blemish to give to the church on a state level?
I think there's not been a desire to change course in any aspect of, you know, one of the things about being pastor, speaking to my neighbor this morning, he's like, you know, that's like the last thing you did was become a reverend. I like, yep.
Yeah.
You know, that this is a business, sure. But this is a business,
sure.
But people don't care. All I know, reverend, they think you're incompetent, that you don't have
right.
any skill set, X,
right.
Y, Z. And most of the professionals that are in our churches are working out there.
Absolutely.
And they have the same skill set.
Or more.
You know what I mean?
Right.
That they bring the church.
Right.
And they, listen, we're talking about integrity. And they hold us accountable.
Sure. Sure.
Yes.
Because they're so
sure.
good at it.
Right.
Sure.
They're
sure.
so good at it. They'll be the first to say, no, that's unacceptable, Pastor.
Right.
No, we
right.
got to do next, right? And I'm a part of this church and I'm a part of this board. These are the kind of environments we work in today.
Right.
And so there's this feeling that there's an ignorant group of people leading churches. Now, let me say that we are starting a corrective path, like you talk about integrity. We from the ground up are really trying to correct some stuff. The,
right.
the council and the nominations are now trying to put forth best practices.
Gotcha.
And so we're trying to clean up, you know, how we do things, how we account for things, X, Y, Z. But there's if you think every church is like that and you are part of the church,
mm-hmm.
what are you saying about yourself?
But the thing about it, go ahead,
but,
sir.
But see, let's go back to something I said earlier with unforgiveness.
Yeah.
See, back then, our forefathers, I made a statement in Bimini, two young guys got installed as pastors in Bimini. They happened to be my grandfather's great-grandchildren.
All right.
So I start to talk about now my grandfather, watch this now, who was a pastor who could not read.
Yes.
Now we're down to the third and fourth generations of pastor in his lineage, but all of those have degrees.
Yeah.
Things
all
have
right?
changed.
That's changed. Things have changed, but they're still holding us for some of the things that happened back in the day.
Yeah.
Understood.
And I believe with the amount of professionals that we have in our churches now, we are doing most of the people who wake in for the government. Attend one of our churches.
I tell them
Agreed.
Every day. I tell them every day.
Agreed.
That's the bottom line.
I mean,
attend one of our churches.
And three, if you could argue with me, and we got off that piece about why people don't know what we're doing.
Right.
Because sometimes we got the wrong people in the wrong place.
Yes.
And then some of it is finance. That's how we
yes.
got in the finance,
right. yes.
the finance part of it. But we've got the skill set.
Yes, absolutely.
In our churches. And it's a beautiful thing that I have come to realize in my leadership that I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
We got pastors that are lawyers.
Right.
Right. I don't know that much about accounts. We
right.
have pastors that have been some of the best bankers in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
Yes, absolutely.
And so, you know, next month, let me blow a horn, in October, we'll recognize Sir Bertram Bedell from the Baptist perspective.
Right.
And most people who are listening to me today would not have realized he was a pastor.
Right.
All they know is this civil service
yes.
and a stellar
yes.
service
yes.
to this nation and to
Absolutely.
The education and all
Tourism
that he did.
That.
But you
do.
Let me shout out his granddaughter, you know, to Talitha.
The lineage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
See, and unless you are a part of this journey, you don't realize the contribution
that
church men and women.
Have made
to the development of our country.
Absolutely.
Bishop Fernando, you said something about coming together and working with the state. I, you know,
yeah.
I have a foundation actually, 501c3.
Yeah.
And you know, I got a love for Ackland, so therefore, you know, from 2008, we've been going down to Ackland's, taking school supplies, uniforms, furniture, computers, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here recently, I went into this whole technical and vocational aspect of teaching fish traps and what it look like for to do poultry farming, you know, laying your eggs and whatnot. And you're right, sir. I can get funding from the United States easy. I can
right.
buy what I need to buy from Home Depot. And once I ship that to Nassau, then ship it to Ackland's, I mean, things change. What I'm saying is that the it's almost like doing business like backwards for me, you know, unfortunately, and only because of the love. Only because of the love,
right.
You know, you push through,
right.
You know, because it's like, I'm not trying to point fingers and say, oh, this, what I'm saying is like, what I can get done when I'm in the States
right.
versus being done in home,
right.
It is almost like doubling up.
Before this time runs out on us.
Yes.
The two of you are in this room mm-hmm. and have worked with me in Hurricane Response.
Yes.
Right.
Thank God for the two of you.
Right, right.
We go away.
Yes.
And raise plywood, not the ones that don't show up.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right.
Those blue tops would not, I feel the Holy Spirit in here. Yeah. Those listen blue tops me. Would not be on any right. roof in Grand Bahama,
right.
would not be on any roof in Abaco if it was not for the church.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about generators. Let's talk about water.
My
let's talk about
helicopters.
Okay, all right.
Yachts.
Hospitals. The hospitals.
Yes.
And then the people get taxed.
Right.
To give things here.
And then they question whether or not the church doing anything.
Great God.
I blame us for not saying what does the church do.
We got away from that.
Right.
And I think, like Pastor said, the challenge is the balance.
Yes. Mm.
The challenge is the balance. That some of the community work that we do is purely through the love of God
yes.
and
right.
for the grace
right.
that God has given each ministry
right.
to do at their level and at their place. But we got to get better at telling our
yes.
story.
Have to.
And I know we went to a meeting the other day
right.
and talking about partnership.
Sure.
And so if we could use and harness these partnerships, that what the church does best is broadcast, is covered, but that don't sell these things.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so we got to find spots and places to
yeah.
do it and pay for it.
Sure.
And
sure.
and do it with excellence.
Well, sure. I mean, we have our own platforms right now. Some of us have followers in the thousands yeah. on your social media, on YouTube or whatnot. Maybe one of the times you just take a opportunity because, you know,
but
the Baptist moments are there on channel.
And I thank you, sir.
But less. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No. You interrupt the Baptist moment.
The Baptist moments is there on channel 121 at 8:30 on every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Due to Bahamas Harvest Church. Holla.
But since we still have the president in.
Yes, sir.
Then maybe there has to be a coordinated effort. Mm-hmm. Of public relations.
Agreed.
I accept that.
All right. That what churches are doing, let's report.
Agreed.
Let's report to the council mm-hmm. and say what is what. So at the end of the day, when the president gives his
yes.
report, he could say, this year, collectively, the
done.
Churches in the Bahamas together have given out 450,000 bags of groceries.
Agreed.
All right.
Agreed.
Then they see the full impact.
Of, it
of what the church is doing here in our country.
And that's how we can get back to becoming a more moral, influential,
yes.
as well as one that's filled with integrity.
Right.
Because now the church has lost that a little bit,
right.
if I can say.
Right.
But now we can gain it back by having that full transparency, not just within our churches, but throughout the Bahamas.
And then, of course, I think, too, if we're not necessarily looking for brownie points.
Agreed.
See, if the president of the Christian Council and Mount Tabor does something, Mount Tabor may do something within its own mm-hmm. confines.
Right.
But when we come out and we put the numbers together,
yeah. right.
the numbers come together
nationally.
As the
right.
national churches. Right. In the Bahamas.
I know we talked about moments done. Of the Baptist. I mean, Bishop Ellis did something. I got to say, Delton Ellis
yes.
did something. I like saying that, but
yeah.
he did something the other day in terms of our expired cards for
right.
NIB.
Right. Yes. Yes.
I mean, how many of us looked at our card and saw it was expired?
Right. Right.
And opened a portal and opened a space and
yep.
place. That people could come.
Yes.
Who would have thought?
Yes. So here's the thing. I mean, I'll put it out there because, you know, I'm one of those people. If the church came together for help, imagine when the church comes together and say, you know what, we want our own credit union. And all the monies that
Brother.
We put in the bank,
Brother.
We take out of the bank and put it in our own credit union and bless the members
in,
there.
You open in something.
That's what I'm saying. I'll do it.
I have on my agenda. I'm glad the president there because I had on my agenda. I got in to see the governor of the central bank myself because he's my classmate.
Okay.
And see some things I'm hearing in the Bahamas about banking and churches.
Right. Yeah.
I can't handle. Mm-hmm. I can't handle because, see, I got turned down before from a bank.
Okay.
They wouldn't let me open an account.
Because you work at a church?
Pastor.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They tell me you can't open. The other day, one of the members was told you can't get no loan because you work for a church.
I hear music, so that means that they about to shut us down. But before we shut us down, let the church do what it got to do. The president of the Christian Council is here. I want you to just bless the people real quickly before we come off of air. Yes.
Father and our God, we are thankful for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Yes. We're thankful that each of us in our place and space can make a difference, touching one soul at a time.
Yes.
Raise up a spirit of giving, living, and serving, that our country will be better. It's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you, each and every one of you, for listening. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your messages. And realize the church is here, and the church has integrity to help.
Yes.
Be a blessing this day and every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Great news! Ron's Electric Motors new location on Cowpen Road, right next to Island Lock, is open Saturdays and Sundays. So for those needing repairs on electric motors, generators, welding machines, water pumps, battery charges, electric lifts, transformers, and power tools, Ron's Cowpen Road location can have you up and running on weekends. Don't forget, you can still visit Ron's Electric Motors on Wolf Road and Claridge Road, and now Ron's new location on Cowpen Road. Dial 356-0249 or 323-5255.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Now let me see now. 326-EPIC. Hello? Hello? This Epic Eckert Battery? This Miss Bueller from round the corner. I hear y'all selling tires now on Wolf Road too.
Praise the Lord. It's about time. I live Fox Hill and Fire Trail. It's too far.
That ain't all. They open Monday to Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Sunday and holiday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m.
My brother Sam, he's a hacker, and he could go right there and get fixed up.
Call us at 326-EPIC. We ship also to the Family Island.